Saint Benedict, in his rule, wrote concerning prayer, 7 times in the day, says the prophet, I have rendered praise to you. Now that sacred number of 7 will be fulfilled in us if we perform the offices of our service at the time of the morning office, of prime, of terce, of sext, of nun, of vespers, and of compline, since it was by these day hours that he said, 7 times in the day, I have rendered praise to you. For as to the night office, the same prophet says, in the middle of the night, I arose to glorify you. Close quote. From Wyoming Catholic College, this is the After Dinner Scholar, and I'm your host, Dr. Jim Tonkowicz. Most of us think of Lent as a time of fasting, of giving up secondary goods in service of higher goods, namely our salvation. And for Lent, giving up is appropriate and useful. But Lent can also be, and should be, a season of adding on, using the simplification of our lives brought about by fasting to challenge ourselves spiritually with new disciplines of prayer, study, and spiritual reading. While it's late in Lent, one discipline that many have found useful over the ages has been praying the office. I asked our Latin chaplain, Monsignor Daniel Seeker, to begin by telling us what praying the office means.
Well, I mean, it's probably not so familiar to a lot of people today because the word office means like a place of business where people work. You know, there's a TV serial called The Office, you know, but it comes from the word officium, which is duty in this sense. And it was the duty of some people in the church to pray for the church and for the world. And so this is where this term office comes from. The divine office is sometimes used, but also it's called the liturgy of the hours. And so it's the official prayer of the church that is prayed throughout the day. And so that's the meaning of the office.
Are there variations on the liturgy of the hours on the office?
Yes. The Roman office is perhaps prayed by the most people in the world today. We have the Byzantine office also, which is similar, but there's some differences. There can be offices that are prayed by religious communities that are particular to their community. Saint Benedict, in his Rule of Life, spent quite a few chapters talking about how the monk should pray the office. It was very important to him. That's another term is the Opus Dei, the work of God. And so this is what he's referring to in his rule by the office or the liturgy of the hours, the Opus Dei, the work of God. You know, of course, the greatest, the Eucharist is the divine liturgy, the Mass is the greatest work that the church can do. But next to that would be the liturgy of the hours of the divine office, because it is official prayer of the church in union with Christ, who as head prays in and with the church.
Now, what does that consist of? What does that look like?
The office? Okay. The liturgy of the hours would be based on the practice of the Jews. You know, in the Old Testament scriptures, it says in the Psalms, the just man prays 7 times a day. The Jews, by the time of our Lord, had developed this habit of prayer. It really came from partly from their being carried off into captivity, and so they didn't have the temple. And so when they had the temple, the thing that would happen would there be a morning sacrifice at sunrise and an evening sacrifice at sunset. Those were then became the two hinges of the day, so to speak, as the Second Vatican Council says with regard to the liturgy of the hours of the divine office. And then they would continue other prayers using the Psalms, which was the prayer book of the Jewish people, and other prayers, scriptures and other prayers that were composed in the life of the church. So it began with the Jewish practice. In fact, I've read scholars who have said, if you want to know how Christ prayed, go and attend the Liturgy of the Hours or participate in the Liturgy of the Hours as it's prayed in Gregorian chant in a monastery, because it sounds probably closest to anything of the Jewish prayer at the time. And they see that from, you know, ancient Jewish practices and practices among Jews that continue today when they would pray with the Psalms. So And so there would be 7 hours of the day. It would be the night hours or the matins, or now it's called the office of readings, then lauds or morning prayer at around sunrise. And then there would be the 3 hours of the day during the daytime hours, which were shorter, called terce for the third hour, sext for the sixth hour, and non for the ninth hour. And then there would be vespers at sunset or around sunset. And then there was a little hour called compline before retiring at the end of the day. And so those continue today in the Roman office and in other versions of it in monasteries or other places.
Now, how did that arise in church history? I mean, it didn't spring fully formed out of the mind of Zeus, right?
No, it's very much attested to in scriptures. For example, the Acts of the Apostles tells the history of the early church. And Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says that the Christians remained faithful to the teaching of the apostles, to the brotherhood, the fraternity, the community life, the breaking of the bread, which would be the Eucharist, and the prayers. The prayers here means this practice that the Jews had already had established that Christians continued to follow of praying throughout the day. And so it mentions, for example, that Peter went on the housetop at the sixth hour to pray. And Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour when they worked a miracle. And late in the night, Silas was praying and singing to God his praises, St. Paul and Silas. So there's those mentions in the Acts of the Apostles of this happening in the first decades after our Lord ascended into heaven. So it's really something that it's been continuous in the church since the time of our Lord.
You mentioned the Jewish origins. I remember being at a conference, or a fellow named Nathan, who is an Orthodox Jew, was part of our group. Where's Nathan? Well, he stepped out to say the noon prayers.
Yeah.
Now, I realize that bishops and priests and deacons and religious pray the office. That is a duty. Is that correct?
Yeah. When I was ordained as a diocesan priest, I made a promise to pray the Liturgy of the Hours for the church and for the world, as it said in the ritual. So, yeah, that's an obligation that we take upon ourselves because being priests, you know, and deacons do some, too.
What now? Would lay people want to do that as well?
Oh, yeah. In fact, the church encourages it. The Second Vatican Council said the laity are encouraged to recite the divine office, either with priests or themselves individually. And so I know of many lay people there are people here in our community who pray the Liturgy of the Hours, you know, perhaps a husband and wife or individually. And so it's encouraged. It's not just for those who have the duty. Some have the duty and some do not. And those who do not could perhaps start in some way, you know, not being anxious about whether they're fulfilling their duty or not, just dipping into it and learning what it, you know, provides. Because it really provides a foundation for prayer. In other words, it gives a structure for prayer so you don't have to be spontaneous, but also someone who prays the Liturgy of the Hours is praying the liturgy and with the church. And so it has it's the Christ, the bridegroom, and the church, the bride, praying the praise, joining in the prayer of in heaven to the praise of God. And so it also immerses people in scripture. And so that's the Psalms and praying with the Psalms, which our Lord did and which people in the church have done, you know, since the beginning. And so that's a benefit too. It follows the liturgical year. So it's not just one's private prayer, but it immerses one in the very life of prayer of the church. And it's also something that's very portable. Now, you know, they have apps for praying the Liturgy of the Hours. You can, for free, find the whole Liturgy of the Hours in all the modern languages and in Latin and the old rite available on an app. So,
now, are things like the Magnificat,
I was just going to mention that, actually, because the Magnificat has a very streamlined version of the morning prayer and evening prayer included in it. And then they usually have night prayer in each edition also. And so that's something that someone could do. It wouldn't be the exact Roman office that, the official prayer, but it would be a good start, you know, it's simpler. And again, I know of students who use the Magnificat every day and they pray the morning prayer and the evening prayer that are given there. And so prayer is good, you know. So even if it's not the official prayer, those people aren't bound to that obligation to pray the Liturgy of the Hours. And so it's a good thing for them, you know.
Now, if people begin praying the office, or at least some portion of it, what should they expect?
Well, I think it is a little bit perhaps getting used to praying with the Psalms, because the Psalms express a variety of different emotions. But I think they would also find that the Psalms resonate with their human experience, because they're Psalms of praise of God, there's Psalms of thanksgiving. There's also Psalms of complaint. You know, I always say to some people who are angry about something, well, there's Psalms that express that anger to God, you know, and so it can be very appropriate to look for a Psalm that expresses what you're praying, what you're feeling. But also, when I pray the office, for example, the Psalm may not always correspond, that's assigned by the church, it may not always correspond to what I'm feeling, but it will correspond to what somebody in the church is experiencing at that point. And so it is the prayer of the church. It's not just my personal prayer, you know. And so that's why I don't just pick the Psalms. I follow what is given to us by the office. Historically, the monks in the desert would try to pray 150 Psalms, the whole 100 Psalter, in one day. But then they realized that was, most people couldn't do that. And so they would spread it out over a week. And now in the reform of the liturgy, it's spread out over 4 weeks. In some monasteries, they pray the Psalter over 2 weeks. So it depends on the structure that they have.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone said, no one is happier than a psalmist. No one is more miserable than a psalmist. Nobody is angrier than a psalmist. Yeah. And there's somebody out there who's feeling angry.
Yeah.
And justifiably so. And right. There's somebody out there who's feeling miserable.
And there's someone out there that's full of jubilation and praising God. Yeah.
So you and Father David Anderson have been encouraging students to the office here at WCC?
Yes. Father David Anderson has the Liturgy of the Hours regularly. We do sometimes. For example, there's the little office and then the Tenebrae, I guess they're planning to have during Holy Week. And there are students in the past who have prayed the office or who do pray the office now. It hasn't been something that's been a part of the Latin chaplaincy, although I think it would be a good addition. The problem is we focus on the more central, which is the Eucharist. You know, I was thinking of having a practicum on the Liturgy of the Hours because I think there would be students who would benefit from it, especially even after they go from college to know what it is and to pray the Liturgy of the Hours.
Well, I do know that I was driving some students up to dormitories near Holy Rosary Church, and they said, oh, just drop us off at church. We're going to go in for Compline.
Yeah, they have Compline every night, pretty much. Yeah, right.
Now, if I want to dive in and start praying the hours, where should I begin?
Well, you could talk to me, and I'll explain a little bit to it. It's a little bit hard.
Well, our listeners could talk to their parish priest.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I guess there's also quite a few resources available on the internet. Like I mentioned, the apps that have the Liturgy of the Hours. I know that there's also, back home, the Catholic radio station had a whole series done by a priest that explained the Liturgy of the Hours and how to pray it and the spirituality of the praying the Liturgy of the Hours. So that would be available on the internet. I think it's called Discerning Hearts in KVSS in Omaha. Father Timothy Gallagher spent quite a bit of time, I think maybe 13 podcasts on the Liturgy of the Hours. There's also the introduction to the Liturgy of the Hours that's in the front of the first book that explains something about it. And I think there's a number of books that talk about how to pray the Liturgy of the Hours. It takes a little getting used to find the right page. The app makes it simpler because it turns you to the page, although sometimes there are errors. But you know, Pope John Paul II, St. John Paul II, was concerned about this. After the Jubilee, he wrote the letter Novo Millennio Inuente on the new millennium. And he said in that Christians should become experts in prayer and go to the school of prayer. And he said, so that this might happen, I'm going to start a series of Wednesday audiences on the Psalms of the Psalter of the Liturgy of the Hours. So he spent the rest of his pontificate talking about the Psalms as a way to pray. And then when Pope Benedict was elected, he continued it for another several months before he went on to another topic. And so those Wednesday audiences are kind of pointing the church to praying with the Psalms, which is what the Divine Office or the Liturgy of the Hours does. So that's another resource that's available, you know, to people to read.
As I interviewed Monsignor Seeker, I confess I was playing a little bit dumb. Nearly 15 years or so ago, before I entered the Catholic Church, I walked into a board meeting of the organization I was running and noticed that one of my board members, Methodist theologian Thomas Oden, had a book that kind of looked like a Bible. Seeing my curiosity, Tom explained, "It's the Liturgy of the Hours. I pray it every day." It just happened that my devotions were feeling a bit stale at the time, and I took the cue. Praying the daily office has been an enormous blessing to me, and I find that praying it sanctifies time, days, weeks, seasons, years, and orients me to Christ in a new way. And let me add that of all the dozens of devotions I've used over the years, it's the one that has not gotten the least bit stale. And so, along with my friend Monsignor Seeker, let me commend it to you. For Wyoming Catholic College, this is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz.